Do you have listening issues? You know that you're not a reliable source to answer that question about yourself, right? I used to think that my wife was a reliable source for answering whether I had listening issues, but what I found is that she's actually pretty gracious in understanding in my lack of listening abilities. I've got three teenage daughters who are just brutally honest about my listening abilities. If you need help assessing yours, just holler at me. I'll share them with you, right? Like, we have issues with our listening, and we're not always the best person to assess that. I'm going to give you, right off of the bat, these descriptive words this morning that we're going to encounter in the text that we're in. I want you to hear them early so that you'll pay attention to them as we walk through the text this morning, because I believe the word we have this morning is incredibly important to your spiritual life and how you will navigate the most important relationships that you have. This is the descriptors. There's two lists. The text will tell us there's these people who are non-listeners, and there's a list to describe them. And then there's the people who are listeners, and there's a descriptive list for them. The non-listeners, this is what words are used: dull, failed student, basic, malnourished, unskilled, childish, undiscerning, untrained, unpracticed, followers of evil, elementary. Their works are dead. They've fallen away. They're not useful. They're thorny. They're thistly. They're near cursed. They're burnt. They're unsure. They're hopeless. And they're sluggish. Nobody wakes up wanting to be described like that, right? And yet we've all found ourselves in seasons where that's a reality because, well, we struggle to listen. But listen to this description of those who are listeners. It says you are teachers, you're successful students, you're advanced, you're well-nourished, you're skilled, you're adult-like, you're mature, you're discerning, you're training, you're practicing, you're followers of good, your works are alive, you've been enlightened, you're useful, you're blessed, you're beloved, you're saved, you're a lover of God, a servant of God, you're earnest, and you have assurance. You're hope-filled, and you're faithful. You're patient, and you're a trustee of God's promises. Now that sounds like the descriptions of a people that I want to be a part of. What does it look like for you and I to grow in our listening to God? As you jump in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to be at the end of Hebrews chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. It's page 1105 in the Bibles that are in front of you. As you bust out the Bible, however you're going to look at it this morning, I'm going to bust out my AirPods. We live in an AirPod era, right? Most everybody has some form of these that you can throw into your ears. If you don't know much about the AirPod technology, it's incredible. As I pop these into my ears, I get to choose what voice gets amplified in my life. We use them all the time, don't we? We decide what we want to listen to. And what's really cool about the technology of the AirPod life that you and I have is not only do we get to choose the voice that gets amplified, with the click of a button, all of a sudden we can cancel out all the noise around us. And with a click of another button, we can allow the noise around us to come in. And so we hear a primary voice, and then we also get filtered the other voices that are going on. As you think about this in your spiritual listening, I want you to be thinking about what voice is primary. When you wake up in the morning, what goes into your head that then nourishes your heart, that then helps the way you interact with people? Do you have space in your life to decide what voices get filtered and how they get filtered? Think about it this way. Is the primary voice the voice that decides whether God gets filtered and canceled throughout your day? Or are you putting on spiritual listening where God gets to be the primary voice that filters and cancels the other voices that show up externally and internally in your life. There's something else that you probably need to know about your AirPod era that you find yourself in, specific to your spiritual listening, is that we can use it as a crutch. Every student in here knows that teachers are banning these AirPods in their classroom. Why? Because, well, you put them in and you act like you're listening, but you're not. And, well, we blame the students, but let's be honest, adults, don't we do the same thing? I put AirPods in all the time when I'm out and about and I want to be around the energy of people, but I don't want to be distracted by people. I throw my AirPods in and I'm not even listening to anything. It just makes me look busy. Makes me, you know, get to do what I want to do without being distracted. You've been there? Where you would say that you're Christian, but you're not listening and obeying anything Christian. You're just walking through the world with a Christian label on you like, hey, I love God, but I don't want to be distracted by people. Do we listen? There's something else that you need to know about the AirPod era, and that is this, is that if you want your AirPods to continue to function the way that you do, you have to take them off and you put them back in their case and they recharge. And you take this case and you plug it into a power source and it, well, allows them to be functional. Do you remember Jesus' teaching about how he is the vine and you are the branches, and apart from him, we can't bear much fruit or any fruit? Some of us have taken our listening ears and so disconnected them from the vine that they're powerless. I want you to think about the AirPods that you have this morning, the spiritual listening that you're doing, and allow this text to assess what's going on in your world, and then decide what type of AirPods are you going to wake up every morning and choose to put on. The text tells us this in verse 11 of chapter 5. It says, about this, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature and for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Are you starting to hear those lists pop up of a non-listener and a listener? The text starts out about this, so we need to figure out what in the world he's talking about. And I'll remind you, last week, you remember in Hebrews, as we unpack it, there's content, then there's a warning, there's more content, then there's a warning, and there's more content. Well, we're in the third section of content, approaching the third warning this morning. And the warning is, you have become dull of hearing. And about this, there's much to say. Well, the about this, the content that we just heard last week from Ryan was because Jesus is the superior high priest, you and I can draw near to God with confidence. That wherever we're at in our spiritual journey, whatever's going on, whatever we have done to others or others have done to us, whatever your status is, you can draw near because Jesus is the superior high priest to God with confidence that God hears you and sees you and will walk with you. Now that's what we're talking about. And as you have this identity that is in Jesus, you draw near to the Father. Do you remember last week what Ryan said? That gives you and I a starting point of victory. Because Jesus is the victorious one and our identity is in him, we wake up every day with the opportunity to be victorious. And God has much to say about that. But when you and I become dull of hearing, we forget that we're victorious, and so we start going and searching for worldly victories, right? And we start gaining worldly victories, but ultimately we start being defeated spiritually. God has much to say about this, but we have become, well, the text says, dull of hearing. And then he goes on to talk about the intellectual grind of faith. I think that this is important because, well, oftentimes faith is thrown into the category of an emotional response. That to love God and to walk with Jesus and to vibe with the Holy Spirit, to listen to it, to obey it, that, well, according to our culture, that's a feeling. And oftentimes, well, I think the evil one, but then the world's powers try to throw your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit into an emotional category as if it is unintelligent. And that the world is so intelligent, but you people who walk in faithfulness to the ways of Scripture, you're outdated and uneducated. You're ignorant rather than intelligent. I would suggest that your faith is very, well, grounded in the wisdom, the truth, and the intelligence of God. The question is, are we listening for that? Are we taking the same approach to the other things that we want to be intellectually savvy on? Are we doing that with the Scriptures in our relationship with God? And this text says, hey, you guys have become dull of hearing and your emotional response to God, well, of course it's going to fade under persecution and pressure and tension, which is what this audience finds themselves in, but there's a different way. The wisdom of God is deep and wide and is accessible to you and I, and we need to find ourselves in that space. What does it look like to move from milk to solid foods, to grow our faith intellectually and emotionally so that we can become a spiritually whole and strong being? Most of us didn't wake up saying, yeah, I want to be dull of hearing. Matter of fact, most of us, I think, wake up every day, right? Saying, I want to hear God speak. This dull of hearing, can I remind you back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2? This whole letter is about a God who has spoken and is speaking. And so it says, he has spoken most emphatically and clearly in the person and work of his son, Jesus. And so when he's talking about becoming dull of hearing, he's talking about us becoming dull in the way that we respond to the person and the work of Jesus. You see, dull of hearing is, well, it's really a callousing of certain things in our life. And we all are susceptible to being calloused. Many of you are sitting in a season of life right now that you didn't dream of. And that could be on either extreme. You could have things that are bad in your life that you didn't think would ever be your status. Or you could have things that have abundantly went so far beyond what you could have ever grasped when you were young and growing up. And on either extreme, you can find yourself under tremendous pressure and tension and your hearing having become dull to the person and the work of Jesus. You think of pride and how pride starts to dull our hearing. You think about bitterness and how bitterness starts to dull our hearing. And jealousy and how jealousy starts to dull our hearing. And we just have to ask ourselves, have we become dull to Jesus as the primary voice in our life? Verse 14 takes a turn here. It says, hey, I have a strong word of warning for you, but there is another alternative. You could eat of solid, mature food. You could grow in your relationship with Jesus. You could actually double down on the fact that he is superior and his ways are the best ways. And so it says this, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said about our faith should be something that we're training for, not that we're trying at? The Hebrew author has brought us back here. He has said that you can move from dull hearing to vibrant listening, but it's going to take these three words. It's going to take training, consistency, and practicing. Hear those: training, consistency, practicing, training, consistency, practicing, training, consistency, practicing. You say them: training, consistency, practicing, training, consistency, practicing. These are the types of things that day by day you and I have to keep going back to, a vibrant listening to the person and the work of Jesus, or we will become dull of hearing. But what happens if we do our training consistently and practice the ways of Jesus? Well, this text says it gives you the power of discernment. If you were sitting with me in almost any scenario where I was going to pray for you, I would almost always pray two things to conclude our conversation. I would pray that the Lord would give you wisdom, because I believe he's gracious in doing that. James tells us if we need the wisdom from the Lord, we ought to ask for it. And so I'm constantly asking for wisdom for people. The issue is that the Lord is gracious in giving wisdom. We are very slow in listening and responding to it. So I pray a second thing for people. I pray discernment. Because discernment is the integration of wisdom into your life. It's actually taking that which you hear from the Lord and living it out in a trusted relationship that Jesus' way is superior. And this text says that if you and I will train consistently in the practices of listening to the person and the work of Jesus, we will have this power. Power for what? Power to discern how to live in a world that is broken. And the text says to discern between walking in the good way and walking in the evil way. Which takes us back to the list. Is your dull hearing taking you toward evil? You wouldn't want to say it that way because you don't want to believe yourself to be evil. But if you're honest, you're certainly not listening to the voice of good and responding to it. And you and I have choices to make in how we listen. Do you want the power of discernment? Then you need to put into habit, training consistently, the practices of listening to the person and the work of Jesus. What does listening look like? Well, you and I have to eliminate some things in our listening. Think about it. You have to eliminate your cell phone. You have to eliminate your multitasking. You have to eliminate yourself from sensory overloaded environments. Jesus consistently did this, right? Because he believed that God's way was the best way. And so he would eliminate the distractions, even the good things he was doing. He would get away so that he could do what? He could sit face to face with the Father. We need to eliminate distractions, and we need to sit face to face with the Father. Look God in the eyes. And you may say, I don't know how to look God in the eyes. Well, do you remember how God speaks? Do you remember what his eyes look like? Do you remember what his thumbprint declares? It's Jesus. Jesus is the perfect representation of who God is. And so we look Jesus in the eyes. As we eliminate distractions, we look Jesus in the eyes and we listen. And this is where we have to do some work here. We don't listen to tell Jesus how to fix the problem. We put the fixing the problem aside and we just listen to Jesus. We don't try to fix the problem in this space. No. We sit with Jesus in the problem and just listen. And then as we listen, we contemplate. We contemplate, what did we hear? What did we hear Jesus saying? And as we hear Jesus speaking, then we ask ourselves, well, what do I think about that? What do I feel about that? How would I act upon that. We don't tell Jesus how to think, feel, and act. We allow Jesus to tell us how to think, feel, and act. And as we listen face to face with Jesus, having eliminated the distractions, having assessed what we've heard Jesus say to us, that's when we take action. And we obey. We walk in the way of Jesus, not a people dull of hearing, but a people eager for training, for consistently practicing the ways of Jesus so that we can have the power of discernment to navigate good from evil. This text goes on then in verse 1 through 8 to kind of set up some explanation for the audience. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And if this will do, and this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fall away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for those whose sake it is cultivated, receive a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. As the author moves himself from a strong word to kind of explaining some things, he says and reminds them, remember, Jesus has much he would like to talk to us about, but you and I are, well, we keep having to be taught over and over again rather than becoming teachers. We lose sight of our identity, which leads us to a place of victory. And in our victory, we can draw near to God. But we can also live out of that victory in helping shape other people that they might too draw near to God. But don't forget, there's a world that you live in. Persecution, pressure, and tension. And these same people who have given their emphatic yes to, I'm going to listen to Jesus. He's going to be the primary voice in my life as they walk out into a world and filter these persecutions, this pressure, this tension seeps in on them. And they're tempted to not listen and obey the voice of Jesus, but to dull their hearing and do it their own way. There's this word in here, repentance, and it's an important word when it comes to our listening. If you and I aren't quick to repentance, we're building that callus that dulls our hearing. If you and I aren't quick to repentance, we build that callus that dulls our hearing. What's happening here, if we're not careful, is, well, we want Jesus as Savior, but when we gave our emphatic yes to Jesus, we didn't give our emphatic yes to Jesus as Savior, we gave our emphatic yes to Jesus as the saving King, which means we have to listen to the directions in which the King would tell us to walk in every relationship and in every situation and through every thought and through every feeling and through every action. And as we live, sometimes we want Jesus as Savior, but we don't want to listen to him guide us in how we walk with him as our King. And this text says, the more you dull your hearing to Jesus as your King, the farther away you get from understanding the power that you have for Jesus as your Savior. And if we walk away from him as our King, we lose seeing the power of our salvation, and before long, we don't even walk with Jesus as king or savior. And so this text says, if you aren't quick to repent, how long will it be before you've become so dull in hearing that, well, you forget your need to repent? And what's God going to do for you? Bring Jesus back to earth, make him walk again, give the perfect sacrifice, hang him on a cross, raise him from the dead, put him back up at the right hand of God? Is that what it's going to take to grab your attention? He's saying, I've already done that. I've already done that. Are you listening? And if I've already done that, can we start with that as the baseline so that we can get into conversations of how you can live in victory? He then paints two landscapes. For those who want to be listeners, he says the rain comes regularly and God blesses, and God will use that cultivated listening in your life to spur you to bear fruit. But for those who are dull of hearing, thorns and thistles will take over your mind and your heart and your life. And your life will be burnt and worthless. It reminds me of what Jesus was teaching. Do you remember when he was ushering in the kingdom life? Back in Matthew chapter 5-7, when he was saying, hey, I am here to show you how God designed the world. And it's broken because of sin, but watch what I teach. Watch how I live, and you will see resurrection happening all around you. And Jesus says, blessed are. And he started blessing people, but in those blessings, they were countercultural. They were upside down according to the world. He would go on and he would continue in his teaching and he would say, you have heard it said, your heritage, your upbringing, your good moral living, you have heard it said this way, but because Jesus is superior, I say it this way. And he called them to higher living, a living that would take a resurrected identity and a listening to God as victory to help you walk in that. You have heard it said this way according to the powers of this world, but Jesus will say it this way if you'll listen. And at the end of that teaching, Jesus says, just like the author of Hebrews paints two landscapes, Jesus paints two pictures. He says, some of you who have looked at the teachings of Jesus, you will decide, oh yeah, that sounds good. I'll add that to my life. And you will build your house on sand. And he calls that foolish. To see Jesus as the superior way, the only way, the best way, but not follow that. He says, you're building your house on sand and that's foolish. But some of you are wise and you will hear the person and the work of Jesus and you will make that the foundation rock in which you build everything else on. And the reality is the two houses get built and they look pretty similar in the world that we live. But the foundation is drastically different. And the rains come and the winds blow, and they certainly will come, and they certainly have and will continue to. And he says, those who have been training consistently in the practices of listening to the person and work of Jesus, their house will not be shaken. Their foundation will not be eroded. He ends with this encouragement. In verse 9-12, he says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we will desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to the full assurance of the hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I love this about our God. He's given us an incredibly strong word about our dull hearing. But did you notice in the text, it says, God will not be unjust in how he listens to the good things of our life. God is quick to provide mercy, to forget the wrongdoing in our life, but he is quicker in restoring the good in our life. And he says, for those of you who have listened, get back to that emphatic yes and that ongoing yes. And God remembers all that you have done. And he will restore you. He will remind you the victory you have in Jesus. And you can get back to living out of that victory. And then he gives us one last warning. Don't be sluggish in living. This text is bookended. It starts out with dull of hearing, and it ends with sluggish living. In the original language, that's the exact same word, which should tell us something. If you find yourself spiritually sluggish, which none of us would want to be, right? If you find yourself spiritually sluggish in life, you should go back to how is your listening? Dull listening leads to dead living. Vibrant listening leads to vibrant living. And so the warning this morning, is your AirPods. What's the primary voice? What voice are you going to pull out that you say, this is the superior voice in which I navigate all other voices in my life, and you put that superior voice into your life, and it tells you how to discern when to cancel the noise around you, or when to filter the noise around you, or when you need to draw back into the power source? What voice is going to empower you? The voice that will train you. The voice that you will consistently be with. The voice that you will practice listening to. This morning, we want to give you a chance to kind of pull out your spiritual AirPods. And as you pull out your spiritual AirPods and allow this text to help you assess your listening skills, we want to ask you to go ahead and also grab your communion. And as you have your spiritual AirPods in one hand, you have the person and the work of God's Son in the other hand. And this text says you can be dull of hearing or you can be vibrant in listening. You have choices to make. Over this next song, we just want to give you time to sit and to listen and to allow the Holy Spirit to help you discern where you're at. And as you are ready, you can take hold of that emphatic yes that Jesus gave to you and decide whether or not you want to give that emphatic yes back to him as the primary voice in your life. And you can take communion as you're ready. And then after that, the team will come out and we'll stand and we'll pursue the one who not only gets us, but got us and allows us to, with confidence, draw near to him. Let's listen.